الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. On behalf of the conference, I'd like to apologize for the difficulty in hearing Sheikh Safar's statement. However, that we should know that Sheikh Safar's statement was a prepared statement. So we have the text, and that can be distributed to the brother shortly with the English translation. So if it was difficult to follow what the Sheikh was saying, yet his words will reach you written, if not by sound. The topic which Sheikh Safar was going to address, and to which I will summarize this at this time, as to why now. Sheikh Safar began after praising Allah and asking Allah to invoke his blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He thanked the brothers and sisters for gathering at this conference, and he greeted everyone. He said, even though I'm from a great distance, greeting you from the blessed land of Mecca during this blessed night of your conference. And this is only part of some of the great duty which is obligated upon us towards our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the Shaykh said, before I get into the topic, I want you to know that this is a great good news for us, that inshallah victory is coming shortly to our ummah. Because of this event, we can determine that, as I will explain. The Shaykh said that if we want to look at this matter as why now, we come to the conclusion that the right-wing extremists, Christian evangelicals, in the United States and the Israelis have arrived to the same conclusion. What is that conclusion? I mean, they reached the same point. We should know first, before we get to that, answer that question, let us go back and give some history. When the Israelis occupied Jerusalem in 1967, it sparked an explosion of evangelical fundamentalism in the United States. Because when they saw that the Israelis conquered Jerusalem from the Muslims, may Allah return it hastily to the back to the believers, it revived in them their hopes that Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus Christ, would be returning for his second coming, and it would begin his millennial reign, for which the Battle of Armageddon is a prelude. This is an aqidah which they have. And so this trend of evangelical fundamentalism in the United States, which saw an explosion with the conquest of by the Israelis of Jerusalem, continued in strength as the state of Israel increased in its military power and embarked upon new wars of conquest in the region. They all saw this as was laying the ground for the return of the Prophet Isa alayhi salam. That is why this group rejects any peaceful solution and does not want to see any peace accord or any sort of cessation of hostilities between the Muslims of the region and the Israelis. And this group reached its peak in influence during the presidency of Ronald Reagan in the 80s, who himself expressed his belief in more than one occasion in these biblical prophecies and in the Battle of Armageddon. And during his time, evangelical Christians reached their peak, and this was exemplified in the activities of three evangelical right-wing fanatical Christians in the United States, being Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, and Jimmy Swaggart. However, something happened which dashed the hopes of the Israelis and dashed the hopes of these right-wing Christians, and that was the Intifada. This blessed Intifada, at first they thought that it was going to be for their benefit, that the Intifada was going to lead to Armageddon, and they would be victorious, and Isa would come down, alayhi salam, and they would destroy the Muslims, and the millennial reign, and so forth. But they saw very shortly that the Intifada was actually going to occur the opposite. And so the following happened. Concerning the Israelis, it led to a great dissatisfaction and frustration among the Israelis, even among the military, even among the settlers and the settlements and the immigrants and so forth. They have now a state of anxiety amongst them. They feel they are no longer safe, and they feel that this Zionist program they had of establishing the state of Israel is on the verge of collapse. Okay. And so as a result, they brought Ariel Sharon to power. And Ariel Sharon, this criminal, murderer, he said, he promised the Israelis that within 100 days, he would bring the Intifada to an end. But what happened? It's been now more than 700 days, and the Intifada is just as strong, if not getting stronger. And so therefore, what has happened now, Israeli society is now being divided. And the recent events last week with the collapse of the Israeli government is just one indication to that. And also what we hear about how many Israelis who have passports to other countries are leaving Israel and wanting to live in Europe and America. They do not feel safe there. And the also the desertion of some of the military troops who don't want to, all is indication of the collapse of Israeli society because of this has now led to a war of attrition, which they cannot win. Okay, so the Israelis have this type of psychological collapse. They feel that they have no way of continuing in the area. Now, the right wing in the United States, politically and religious with the evangelicals, have a certain program. This program, if we look at the political right wing in both its religious and its secular factions, their main aim in their foreign policy is just to protect and achieve Israeli security at all costs. And when the American right wing saw that Israel cannot remain in the region without its direct imposition of American hegemony and American control of the region, they have decided now to use force in order to control the affairs, in order to let Israel's security remain. In other words, conquer the Middle East. And the pretext for this, of course, now, which they're trying to do in order to put this plot into effect, is what? The removal of the Ba'athist regime in Iraq. And likewise, they've given this whole project, this slogan, a long-term project, which is called the War Against Terrorism, which in reality, one of its aims, or among the main aims, is to secure Israeli security in the region, because they know the Israelis can't do it themselves anymore. It needs American military might. The religious right wing, of course, they don't want to go through all these political machinations and political reasons and so forth. They want to do is just ignite the battle of Armageddon. They neither look for political excuses or rational explanations. Because, first of all, these people are irrational people. They don't believe in reason and so forth. They're blind fundamentalists, and all they want to do is based upon what they think they are receiving revelation, or how they interpret their personal interpretations of the Bible, or their analysis, their futuristic analysis of how events will come, or their desire to see Armageddon occur, and so forth. Okay, so this is the psychological context of the right wing in the United States. Now, what happened was the events of September 11th, as well as the preparations for war in Iraq, has begun to cause a division within the United States between a large number of Americans who do not want to engage in war for Israel, who do not want to have an open-ended war against the Muslim Ummah, okay, and the American administration, who seeks that, and the Christian fundamentalists behind the American administration. And as a result, these people are becoming isolated day by day in the United States, and they are their influence is beginning to decline. The signs of that are now beginning to appear. And we can see this in many ways. I mean, the fundamentalists, Christian fundamentalists, power is weakening in the United States. Their influence is beginning to decline in many ways. First of all, many of them had scandals and a poor reputation even before these events. And so a lot of Americans began to, poke fun at them and look at that they were not worthy to be people who were preaching religious matters. Second of all, their positions are really at contradiction with what the general ideas and opinions of the American people. For example, when September 11th came, Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson made comments saying this was a punishment from Allah upon them for allowing homosexuality and so forth in their lives. Most of American people found this to be offensive. And so therefore, they forced them to retract from this. So this shows that they are not in line with the general population of the United States. And hence, they feel threatened that they are unable to project their influence on the American citizenry. Likewise, another thing which caused them to be out of line with the United States and even with the American administration is when the President of the United States outwardly showed some courteous behavior towards the Muslim community. For instance, after September 11th, he visited the Islamic Center in Washington, D.C. and said some nice comments about Islam and Muslims. Likewise, recently the State Department has created a film about Muslims in America, which they're putting in the Middle East, and so forth, to show that Muslims in the United States live a peaceful life and are not being harmed and so forth. So this has made, because these Christian fundamentalists don't want anything nice to be said about Islam, and so therefore they have caused themselves now to even split or to divide themselves from the administration itself. Another factor which has caused for their decline in the United States is that during the 8 years of the Clinton presidency, the liberals were strengthened greatly. You know, I mean, and this has become apparent in a number of ways. For example, recently there was a conference, a declaration for the International Conference for Religion and Peace on the 23rd of October of this year, and there was a declaration or resolution of the conference, which shows a liberal mindset in the United States and is completely at opposition to what the Christian fundamentalists, right-wing Christian fundamentalists, or the right-wing, extreme right-wing in the United States, the seculars among them. And likewise, another cause for them to weaken their hold on American society is that many Americans now have become much more familiar with Islam and Muslims during the last decade. And so therefore, it's not easy for them to pass off upon the American public just these blind attacks against Islam or the Muslims. Many Americans know Muslims, and they know them not to be terrorists. They know them to be very peaceful people, very kind people, very generous people, and so forth and so on. They know something about Islam. Many of them have read something about the Quran, or they know something of the Prophet's life. And so therefore, they do not just fall easily prey to such types of statements. Likewise, many Americans have now an increased awareness of the Palestinian cause and what's going on in Palestine. And a lot of them have a conviction that there needs to be a solution, and that the solution is not to support Israel blindly, but rather there needs to be a solution, and that only through having a solution for this issue will the issue of quote-unquote terrorism come to an end. Likewise, many large segments of the American population are against the war in Iraq, and this has come out with many of the churches outside the fundamentalists, of course, ring. For example, the statement of the World Council of Churches, which came out on the 20th of September this year, the statement of the Conference of Catholic Bishops, which came out on the 16th of September this year, all saying that they do not, the United States should not go into war with Iraq. So, what happened? As a result of this type of, you know, background, this group of these Christian fundamentalists have felt themselves more and more isolated on both an official and popular level. And this has led to them an anxiety concerning their future. And this anxiety concerning their future, the Sheikh says, is a textbook case of psychological projection, okay? Because they have these built-up feelings of the necessity of the Battle of Armageddon and the necessity of bloodletting and killing and so forth. And since they can see now there might not be a way for them to push this type of agenda anymore, they now want to then take these types of feelings and cast them upon the Prophet ﷺ and accuse him, the Prophet ﷺ, the messenger of truth, the messenger of justice, who was sent as a mercy unto the world, and who is mentioned in their scriptures as being the Arkun al-Alam, which is in the prophecies of the previous scriptures might be translated as the Prince of Peace, as what they used to refer to him, alayhi salam, in their scriptures. They now are referring to him as an individual of violence and terrorism, while that is just a reflection of their violent nature inside and their bloodthirsty nature inside. Now, the conclusion of this is that this is a great sign from Allah Azza wa Jal that this movement, meaning the Zionist movement, with its two, this and the other matters, with its two faces of this coin, the Jewish Zionist movement in Israel and also the Christian Zionist movement, which has given it its lifeblood and has given it its support in the West, is coming to an end. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring this movement to an end very shortly. And this is the great news that we have. I mean, that we're on the verge of a great victory, this ummah. And then the Sheikh said, he said that, and we can take this from historically by looking at just the statements of Ibn Taymiyyah, who faced similar things in his time. And he wrote two books, very famous books on this matter. One is Asalam al-Maslul ala Shatim al-Rasul, or The Unsheathed Sword Against That Person Who Insults the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And his other book, which he refuted Christianity when the Christians sent a letter to the Muslims trying to find some sort of defense for their beliefs and their practices in the Quran and also in their scriptures and by reason. And the Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah wrote his famous multi-volume book Al-Jawab al-Sahih, or The Correct Response لمن بدل الدين المسيح, to him, the correct response to those who exchange the true religion of the Messiah alayhi salam with when they have forged themselves. That's what the title means. So the Shaykh quoted two passages from Ibn Taymiyyah where Ibn Taymiyyah says that it is well known, and Ibn Taymiyyah says not only from historically but also from what we have seen in our times, that whoever attacks the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and insults him or and attacks his character, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quickly strikes him with different forms of punishments in many ways. And we see this in historically when Kisra was given the letter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam calling him to Islam, and Kisra ripped it up, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said his kingdom will be ripped up. And when Maqawqis, the ruler of Egypt, accepted the letter of the Prophet ﷺ, even though he became a Muslim, and sent the Prophet ﷺ gifts, the Coptic people have remained in Egypt and have stayed, because they return it with a response which is proper. I mean, if anybody, not alone a prophet sent by Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then he quotes Ibn Taymiyyah, something which has been quoted often today, that it is very well known from the experience of Muslim soldiers in Syria during the time of the Crusades, that whenever they besieged a Christian castle and they found it difficult for them to conquer it, even after a long protracted siege of that, okay, that at times the Christians would begin by insulting and cursing the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when the Muslims would hear this, they would welcome this as a sign that victory would come and that fortress and castle will fall shortly, for Allah will take vengeance upon the enemy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Muslims have experienced this on more than one occasion in actualization of Allah's statement that he who hates you will be cut off, he who hates the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Shaykh concluded by making dua for the attendees and asking Allah azza wa jalla to bless the brothers and sisters for attending and the people who assisted in having this conference. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfiru li wa lakum subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu. And again, my apologies on behalf of the conference host for the poorness in the voice of Sheikh Safa, but his full printed statement in Arabic and English will be distributed shortly, inshallah.